The Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Psachim says, "Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shvach."
Oh,
that's what. Okay, you start with negative, and you end with positive. Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shvach. That's part of the Pesach experience, is starting with the negative.
Interesting.
Why? Because you can't have redemption unless you emphasize the negative. So the Gemara says, very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, "My bignut, what is the negative?" Rav Amar mitchila ovdei avodah galilim hayu avotenu. Rav says that the gnut is that first that we were originally idol worshippers. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, "Avadim hayinu, we were slaves." So what is the negative that we emphasize in order to emphasize the positive? It's a very interesting question. I mean, what do you think is the redemption?
I mean, is it a spiritual redemption or a physical redemption?
Correct. What is the emphasis of the redemption? Pesach is a fascinating combination of both. It's a combination of physical and spiritual.
Uh-huh.
So you have a machloket. So Rav says one or the other. Which do we do? Avadim hayinu or mitzvah of the avodah zarah?
We start with mitzvah of the avodah. No, we start with avadim hayinu.
Which do we do? Do we do Rav or do we do Shmuel?
Avadim hayinu is the answer to manishtana, isn't it?
Which do we do? Do we do mitchila of the avodah zarah hayu avoteinu, or do we do avadim hayinu?
We do both.
Both.
Yeah.
Correct. Fascinating. You have a... Why not? Both are important.
No, but you start... You actually have to begin with one. You can't say two words at the same
no,
time.
No, mitchil meaning the you begin the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim with gnut. And
okay.
You end the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim with shvach. So we know what the shvach is. God redeemed us. We became a nation.
Okay.
But the shvut that we begin with is, the gnut that we begin with is what? So the answer is, we don't choose between, gnut is negative, is derogatory, bad things. Start with bad, end with good. So it's fascinating that we end up, we accept both opinions, which is pretty rare. Usually we pick one. But here we pick both.
Okay.
And it emphasizes the dual nature of Pesach, the physical and the spiritual, which emphasizes the dual nature of the Jewish religion, the spiritual and physical, etc., etc., etc. That's a topic of much discussion. Are there stupid questions?
No, I should just not ask it. But when we were in Mitzrayim, we weren't of the Avodah Zarah.
Sure we were. Mitzrayim of the Avodah Zarah,
you have attained. Why would you say that we weren't?
Yeah, where would you get that we weren't? Of course we were.
We weren't of the...
We were on the... What level for you?
No, I know that they were at a very low spiritual level.
I could only get that through all of those hours.
What was the third one?
Right, Loshonam. They were cultural Jews. They were...
They spoke Yiddish and called their children
Mitzvah Katie. Not...
And ate matzah ball soup.
And ate matzah ball soup on Pesach.
But they actually...
Didn't I speak about that once? I think one year I spoke about this. They ate pork in Rish. Sure, why not? My name is Salim. They were entrenched in the culture of the time. They were there for hundreds of years. They were hundreds of years. They were there.
It's something like you picture some kind of continuation between, like, the original Yeridah and Mitzrayim of Yosef and of the brothers, and
right?
To these Avadim.
All right, that's a total misconception. Absolutely.
I think with no actual written Torah, it's very hard to keep a religion together on tradition.
Yishvu be'eretz Goshen. Yosef tried. Yaakov wanted them to be in Eretz Goshen.
So the first generation worked, and then after that it was already...
What do you mean? Look at us.
Even.
What do you mean it worked? Look at
the first generation is trying.
Look at Israelis. Look at Jews who enter into a culture and aren't trying to remain separate. How long does it take for them to, acculturate? How many generations
Six
acculturate
months.
And assimilate? Acculturate for less than one generation.
Yeah.
One generation maximum. Acculturate and assimilate.
No, I just never thought that they actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought they were like doing Avei Rot, but not necessarily being of the Avodah Zarah.
It wasn't considered bad. It was just what it was.
It was the norm.
Yeah, the normal meaning.
Because you have this conception of like monotheism starting with Abraham, and then that it continued. And that was what was special about us.
Were there anyone that didn't do that? Or everyone.
Well, they say maybe Shevet Levi. It's unclear whether Shevet Levi did or not. And we'll soon see. Okay. I want to do a paragraph today of Yehisha Amda that we all know very, very... it recently got... Right, you're thinking the son, like the Yaakov Shweki son.
No, I'm actually thinking the original.
He, she, What is that from? Like, it fits.
Great.
Sounds very 50s.
No, it sounds European.
No. You think so?
Yeah.
It's okay. Not 50s because my great-grandfather sang it. He would not have sung something so new. I remember sitting at a seder with my great-grandparents and he sang it.
Wouldn't it be great if we had a recording of actually, you know...
Not of him, but maybe...
No, of one. What they sang at the Seder 200 years ago.
Great-grandfather?
You know?
I did till I was 10.
Yeah, wow, unbelievable. You're so lucky.
So the modern Behisha Amda...
Not my grandpa.
The Shweki Behisha Amda is fascinating. Okay? As we all know, I will Behisha Amda La Motenu. You following inside? Amar aleinu lechaloteinu. Amar aleinu lechaloteinu. What's the next word? Ve'akadosh
ba'ach.
Yeah, that's the purpose. How'd you know? There was a pedagogical purpose for my singing it. That's very good, right? Ve'akadosh ba'ach. And you're like, what's your following inside? Right, so why do you skip that? Why do you skip that? It's a very interesting question why he skipped it. You could suggest that he skipped it because it just didn't fit in the tune.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. Okay, but the fact that he skipped it, it does something. What does it do when you think about the song? What's the emphasis of the song? If you recall, when did the song come out? Anybody recall when the song came out?
His song?
The reason Shweki's song took off.
Excuse me, Yonatan Razel's song.
Correct. Yonatan Razel's song at the Shweki concert took off. And what? Because it came at a unique and a very interesting time. Hi. How you doing? It came at a very interesting historical time. Anybody remember when it came? Excuse me. Yes.
Yeah.
No, second level. No. It came at the time of Kasled.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after the...
2010.
It was 2010. It's already 4 years old, that song.
Okay.
And we were... There was a very interesting period of you know, whenever we feel like we're really under attack, finally come together. Remember, the Kasled was the culmination of just years and years of frustration and years of really impotence on the part of the government and the society, and we just kept getting slammed with these rockets. And every day, you remember, every day you'd wake up and hear on the news some poor schlub from Sderot complaining about the fact that the government's not doing anything and they have to do rockets every day, and just increasing frustration. Okay, and then this incredible cast led where you know it was just like people didn't know what to expect, and we went and it was a
miracle.
It was a cakewalk. It was really a cakewalk. Not for the I think 8 people or 12 people that were killed, the soldiers, but it was like unbelievable. It was such a slam dunk. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? And along comes Shweki at Pesach, right after this time, and he comes out with this song that really encapsulates what we were all feeling. Behisha Amda, you know. Right? Everybody immediately thinks like it reminds us of the song, but the crescendo of the song is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu. But it keyed into something which was subconsciously deep, something that everybody knew that wasn't normal.
Right.
That what happened wasn't normal. That there's something special going on here. Right? That the emphasis of the paragraph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the emphasis of the song. You know what I'm saying? Of this tefillah. What we have to ask ourselves is that really true? Is what Shweki did, or Yaakov, Yonatan Razel, sorry, is what he did to the song? You understand, when a composer takes a song and puts music to it, and assigns emphasis to it, that changes the meaning of the words, in essence.
But isn't it like you understand what I'm saying? And changing...
No, no, no.
You're not allowed to add or subtract from the Torah.
Rina used to do this. You had a Tanakh song, right? Would you do it too?
I had a test when I taught Rachel Mavakal Benecha. I brought in tapes with different tapes.
And tapes.
With different versions of two different versions of the song, and they had to evaluate which one was more appropriate for the context of the Pasuk and the Nevuah itself.
Right.
I used to be
good. So, did Yonatan Razel, when he did that, it was very smart. You know what I'm saying? Any good song, songs become popular because they're fun or whatever, because
the
they also
that's
catch...
That's not the point. The point is, for Kol Dorado, that's going to happen every time. Oh. But the bottom line is, Vakadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu.
Is that the bottom line? Meaning, you have to ask yourself, is... it's not a question of do we... Is it true?
The paragraph.
Right. What is the focus of the paragraph?
Right, because there's Kalotenu twice.
Yeah, right, okay.
Kol Dorado.
Right, I started without a reason, not for nothing, I started with Matzli Magnut and Messiahim
B'Shabbat.
Right, meaning, is that the emphasis, of course we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, but is that the emphasis of the paragraph, or is that the throwaway line? Meaning, yes, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. You don't think it's a throwaway line.
It's so not let's, a throwaway line, you're making the question too
so
binary.
That's my job.
Polarized.
Well, that's what we do, don't we?
In general, I mean, who wrote that? Behisham? Did it show up in the Gemara? Is it in the Gemara?
These words, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
Because it sounds very diaspora Jew.
Why?
We're the victims.
The whole one second. This whole thing is the Mishnah. The whole Haggadah is diaspora Jew. That's like I have to write this. Like every year, I come into Haggadah and I'm like, I really have to like put together all my Haggadah stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's all Haggadah. And everybody else does it.
Right. No word. That's right.
It's also on a spiritual level. You're saying the Kalotim, like assimilation.
So good.
Oh. Like, you know.
So the essential question. The central question is Vihi She'amda. How does it translate Vihi She'amda? This is what has stood for our forefathers and for us. Mm. What is this?
See, I always thought, they always explain Vihi is the breed and whatever.
Who's they?
I don't remember. I learned in school.
Vihi is the breed?
I always thought
that's what it says
school.
Here, the breed.
Wait, why does it say this? In order to understand it, you are correct. When did you learn this in school? The reason why you learned this is because that's what came before. Vihi is saying, and this is what stood, if you want to understand Vihi, you have to, of course, read the paragraph that came before it.
Read that it's
See, but I always read differently, though. I always read, this is a truth that existed for our fathers and for us. Colon.
Wait.
Sorry.
Good. Let's go back a little bit. Correct. Yeah, 100%. You can look inside if you want. We're going to read the classical interpretation, and then we'll read our own interpretation. And then Rina will say Herbshot, which I agree with, actually. Baruch Shomer Haftachato LiYisrael. You see how I'm going back a couple of paragraphs?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is he who who guards his promise to Israel, Baruch Hu. She'akadosh Baruch Hu chishav et haketz la'asot k'ma she'amar la'abra'aba amin abinu ha'mtarim. That God, he calculated the ketz, the end. As it says, Abraham, she'nemar, it says, Vayomer la'avram, Yadoa teida ki ger yezar recha ve'eretz olahem. You shall surely know that your children will be a stranger in a land that does not belong to them. They will be enslaved. And they will be afflicted. They will afflict them for 400 years. And you should also know that the goy that they will worship, that they will serve, I will judge them. And then they will leave with Birchush Gadol. Next word. And this is what has stood for our forefathers and for us. What is this?
The promise to be taken out.
Right, very good. All the commentators on Behi say, I'm reading from my Haggadah, Ota haftacha shall brid ben habtarim. The promise of brid ben habtarim amda lanu. Okay? This has always stood as a test of time. Pirush Kadmon, but it's a bunch of them. Avudraham, Ota Haftacha, Shabite Mitarim, Vayetsu Hemi Mitzrayim, Ki'ilu Yatsanu Anachnu. Right? But what is the Vihi, interestingly enough? What is the Vihi emphasizing? It's going back on which words that we just said before? Which words that we said before? What? And the Gamdal on the Brit Ben Tarim. The Gamet Agoy Asher Yavodu Dan Anochi, Vachrechen Yetzu Birchush Gadol. Okay, Vihi, and this Shamda Lavotenu Velanu. Okay, Shalom Achad Bilvadamar Ladenu, the Akarish Baruch Matzilenu Yadan.
I don't I don't see how that interpretation fits in with the continuing. How did it do that? How is it that the brit amda levotenu velano?
What do you mean?
And how is shalom echad belvad amar leolenu lechalotenu proof or support for the statement?
No, Ella shebechol dor v'dor amdan chalotenu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzah
dinam yadam. If you want to think of the, well, are they saying that the brit ben hamtzarim was a standard formula that God was going to apply to every galut?
Wasn't just a standard formula; it was actually a total and complete prediction of the entirety of Jewish history.
Every galut.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Rashi with the that each of the animals was a different galut.
Yeah, very good. Of course. Very. Go get a brashi. Get a brashi right here. Take a Tanakh. The second shelf on from the top, there's Tanakhs. Give one to Laura too. Rina likes listening. Okay. Tanakh. There's a bunch. Yeah. Give one to Laura too. Okay. Brashi Perek Tavav. Brit Bein Mitarim. Perek Tavav Pasuk Chet. We're actually flying through this pretty quickly. Hey. Yeah. Which is okay. Yep. Everyone have it? Bereshit, chapter 15, paragraph Pasuk Chet. We're in the middle of the story. Vayomer. And Abraham says, Adonai Elohim, Bamei Daki Irashana. How will I know that I shall surely inherit this land? God says, I promise you'll have the land. Vayomer Elav Kecha, Kcha Lecha Egla Meshuleshet, Ve'ez Meshuleshet, Ve'ayl Meshulash, Petur V'gozal. Take an egla meshuleshet, an aze, a calf meshuleshet, three calves, and three goats, and three rams, and a tor v'gozal. Tor?
Turtle dove.
V'gozal. Okay. And a dove, and a pigeon.
No, gozal is like a baby bird.
Baby bird. Vayikach lo kol ele, vayivater otam batavach, and he took them and he split them into two. Somehow we took all of these animals, right? And he split them. He cut them in half, which is probably a lot of work. Chopped them in half. Put the two halves corresponding to each other. Okay?
What is egla meshuleshet? Is that three?
I think three. I think it means three.
Egla and three izim and three.
Okay. Now, one second. Be'et ha-tzipor lo batar, Rashi says, why? Lefi she'umot ovdei kochabim u'mazalot nimshalu leparim ve'elim v'si'irim. The nations of the world, they are alluded to, they are allegorized as these animals. Okay? Ve'omer, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Each one is Melech Yavan, the Seir is Yavan, the Isle is Parasu Madai, Rashi said explicitly. Okay? Ha'ayel asher ra'ita Malchei Madai u'Paras, Ha'tzipor v'Seir v'Seir Melech Yavan, okay? And Be'et ha'tzipor lo batar, he didn't split the birds. Guess who the birds are? Anybody want to guess who the birds are? V'Yisrael nimshu livnei Yonah. Why? Shneimar, what do we read on? What do we read on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach? Shneimar, Yonati b'chakvi ha'sela. We read Shir HaShirim. My Yonah, my dove, my love, my beautiful. We are the Yonah. Okay? The fikach batar ha'behemo. Therefore Rashi says he split the animals. Remez al ha'umot sheyu kalim b'hochim. The nations, each nation, whatever the 70 nations were back then, they are kalim b'hochim. They dissipate. Ve'tatzipor lo batar. And the bird he did not split. Remez Yisrael kayamim la'olam. Am Yisrael will endure forever. Okay, so there's already allusion. By the way, there's some truth to that. Like what is Greece today? Is Greece at any remnant of?
There's a lot of truth to that.
Right. Is there any remnant of Greece today? The idea of nationalities in general are the idea of ancient nationalities or of a nation, of an ancient nation, doesn't really exist. Egypt
not
today?
Not only that, but without a nation state, how could it be that we still exist?
Right, Egypt today is not what it was.
Wait, can
Greece,
you explain the basics?
Greece wasn't what it was. I mean, all these ancient countries, we don't even believe, in essence, in the idea of a country.
Yeah,
We don't believe in the idea of a country. What, it's like, okay, each country has its own territorial needs, and but is there really today, honestly, much of a difference between America and Canada? England and Australia? No, England actually has something.
There is difference.
What? Culture. It's only cultural.
It's only cultural.
But a person can move from England to Australia.
Absolutely.
And they'll say, well, you're English, you're Australian.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a person can't move from being Greek to being Jewish without having some implication, without having some personal implication.
Yeah.
Moreover, a person is Jewish. Judaism, Israel, is the only country in the world where you can become a citizen because
you're Jewish.
Because of your blood.
Your blood, yeah.
Because of your blood. We still believe in this. We are the only nation in the world that still believes in this ancient archaic idea of nationality, of ancient nationality.
Well, again, your religion and religion is a
state debate. I'm saying the Rashi is prophetic, based on prophecy. Right, all the nations of the world, Kalin Volchin. It doesn't mean there won't be countries.
But that's what Nazism is all about, trying to put nationality back into into the politics of
this country. Is the big criticism of Israel today. You people are backwards, you know. Right, exactly. That's the big criticism.
That guy in Hungary now, the National Socialist guy.
Well, the National Socialist, they don't really know what to do with it because they believe in nationalism, but of course, they believe in immigration and equality, and all this. They don't know how to do it exactly. Okay, what's interesting, fascinatingly, is also okay. Let's read the next pasuk. These are very difficult pasukim to translate. The ayit, these animals, these birds, like it's kind of like vultures came down on these. On Avram left these carcasses in the middle of the desert. So of course, who came to pick at them? These vultures. And nothing happened. Sun came.
What do you mean nothing happened?
Nothing's happening. Everyone's waiting for something to happen. God told them to split. And we'll see something happens in the end. V'tardema nafla Avraham. And a tardema, a great slumber, is falling on Avraham. V'hinei ema chashecha gedola nofelet alav. Ema chashecha gedola. Ema, fear, darkness, a great darkness is falling on Avraham. And the Midrash says, on these words, ema chashecha gedola. 1 second. Okay. Ema says the Midrash. This is the Midrash.
Did you cheer about this on Tana Shabbos afternoon in Detroit?
Did I?
Yes. So good.
Zomal, how do you remember this?
There's certain shirim you gave just popped in.
When? Like, what was it? Some Shabbos afternoon?
It was a series. You gave it as part of a series. And
on?
It was just, on this one it was about fear and
oh no! But that was a Shabbos. That was a Shabbos Shuva drasha about
was
fear.
It? Right? Maybe yeah. Shabbos
Shuva. Ema zuma chud bavel. Right, Ema. The word Ema is Babylonia. Is the exile of Babylonia. Chashecha Madai Gidola Zumachut Yavan Greece. Nofelat Alav Zumachut Revi'it. What's the fourth one?
Edom.
Romi Chayvata. Right, the Edom, Rome, Christendom. The fourth exile, the long, long exile, 2,000 years of exile. So the Midrash says that entrenched in the Brit Ben Habitarim is this prophecy and this prediction, not only of the first exile to Egypt, but God's saying to Abraham Avinu, he's showing him literally the rest of history. Okay? So if that's true, what?
So then the next pasuk.
If that's true, v'hi sha'amda la'avoteinu v'lanu, this brief Ben Hamitarim, and then v'gamet agoya she'avod, each time, there's also a promise of the brief Ben Hamitarim, that a God says, after each one, yadoa keda, v'inu atam, and then the next pasuk that we read, each time that this promise is a promise that's not just in the context of history. This could very well be the intention of Chazal. That we don't think that the promise to Abraham was a temporary promise. It was a one-time promise that then each will come. But that this promise is a recurring promise that God will redeem us. It's an eternal covenant.
Correct.
Right. And that's the idea, that this idea, the remnant, the descendants of Abraham Avinu will always be saved. Okay, that's the classic interpretation, and a very beautiful interpretation, that when we say V'hisha Amda, there's only one problem with it. And it's very nice, V'hisha Amda, V'hakadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is it doesn't really fit in the context.
Why?
Because we're not in the good part yet. We're still in the bad part. You know what I'm saying?
And the bad part is pretty bad.
What? Let's look at the next, after V'hakadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'Adam. Okay. Next, the next paragraph is Say Uleman. Ma bikesh Laban harami lasot leYaakov Avinu. Right, let's go see what did Laban want to do to Yaakov. How is that in the context of like we're like it's like a roller coaster in a sense.
Right.
You know, like is this good? But brit bein mitarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishav et haketz.
No, you know what it reminds me of? Remember in the Elmo movie when they took the blankie and then all of a sudden Bert and Ernie show up on the screen and they're like, don't worry kids, I'll get it back in the end. It's going to be okay. And then they go back to the
I'll never
story.
Forget the Bert and Ernie, the Elmo movie because...
Don't say it, he's going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, I'll tell him. He doesn't care. He's not listening. He'll never know. The first, we decided finally, we broke down, you know, Simcha was 3 or 4 and we were like, I don't know, he wanted to watch a movie. So we finally decided, okay, we're going to show Simcha a movie. We didn't have, like, we had videos, whatever. So what do I go? I go to the video store and I rent him the Elmo movie. In the Elmo movie, the whole theme of the Elmo movie is about how Elmo loses his blankie to Oscar. Oscar takes it away to like garbage land or whatever it is. And the whole movie is about Elmo getting back his blankie. Simcha had a blankie. Maria has a blankie. Nachon, you have a blankie? Simcha was at the time quite attached to his blankie. He found the idea of Elmo losing his blankie so traumatic that he started crying bitterly.
Oh,
couldn't believe it. And right then and there, you're like on the screen, Ernie goes, don't worry, he'll get his blankie back.
Great device.
It was good, it was good. But that didn't reassure him. The idea of losing his blankie was so traumatic.
So
we could not finish the movie.
Oh, no.
We couldn't walk.
No, we did. We waited.
No, we did it.
We put it back on. We said he finished it.
That is hilarious.
It was pretty funny. But the things
very,
that are...
That's very interesting.
He traumatized
him
by an Elmo
it's
movie.
It's going to get bad, but don't worry.
Now we'll go back to where we were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why
the problem is... The problem is... But that device is fine if the emphasis at this point is on the negative. Meaning... Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzalim yadam?
Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu
matzalim? One second. According to the way we interpret it now, Behisha Amda. Behisha. Of course, we know the end. But I'm trying to emphasize the literary nuances for Euler. The point is here: is HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzalim yadam Bert and Ernie, or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzalim yadam the emphasis? According to all these interpretations, Behisha Amda. That good. That's always been the part of the good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzalim yadam. But it doesn't fit in the context. We're not there yet. We're in, okay? Brit Bein HaBetarim, what part do we read? We read the part of, in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, the emphasis on Brit Bein HaBetarim isn't the good. Like, God comes to Avram, and like it's not like, Eimach HaShlichah Gdolah. Yes, there is a Brit. Yes, there is a covenant. And I will redeem you. But if you look in the Psukim that we read, right, most of the Psukim of God talking to him is, Yadeo HaTeida, Ger Yezer Be'erdo Lahem, Va'avadum, and then he has another word. Vegam, what's vegam?
By the way,
that's Bert and Ernie. That's the device. Don't worry, I just want you to know, don't worry. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, this isn't, the Brit Bein HaBetarim, it's not like all hunky-dory, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Brit Bein HaBetarim is saying that if you want good in the end, you understand it has to come with bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if that would make sense, so then if that's true, then the Vihisha Amda is not just the good. Okay? It's the bad. Vihisha Amda la avotenu velanu. Understand, this idea that Geula must come through the idea of, through the, what we'll call it, the crucible of the fire. Must come. El shebechol dor vador amdim aleinu l'chaloteinu. So just on throwaway, most of the commentaries don't say this. I'll just give you two. I found this Orchot Chaim. He says something, a cryptic comment. He says, Kavanat ha-hatchalat beginut lo haita ela lamar davar zeh. This is Kavanah of matchilin beginut. So I'll read you that. I'm going to read you one other thing. He doesn't say what he means.
Meaning matchilin beginut doesn't mean...
Matchilin beginut means this.
Entire gnut.
This is matchilin beginut. So then in my endless Haggadah of Mefarshim, he quotes the following. He quotes...
Who?
I don't know. I found it somewhere. Okay. Otsar Mefarshei HaHaggadah. It's an Otsar. Which is great because he'll like take a paragraph and give you a zillion to Mefarshim. Which is basically good for me because I'm looking for contrasts. I'm looking for interpretations. I'm looking for, like you said, like it doesn't make sense to you. Something doesn't sit right with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it just didn't sit right with me. Yesh Pirush Some say, "Hakavanah the Mashiach Tiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What is Vihi? The promise, "Kiger Yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem." Right, they will be strangers. Meaning, "Shu Geirim Kishahim ba'aretz lo lahem." Garam lakach shebechol dor v'dor davkach sheyitzu Yisrael litarev ben haumot yisanum hagoyim. Well, listen, I understand. What is Vihi Shamda? The promise is. Yadoa teda ki ger yezaracha be'eretz olahem. They'll be strangers in a strange land. In order for them to get out, they have to be strangers. And not what? Not citizens. Not a part of. That they'll try, and that it won't help for them. I quoted for you, I photocopied for you. I actually have enough for everyone.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have enough for everyone.
The thing is, you can't have this without the last line, because
even
when you're
dead,
it's too hard.
What?
You can't have it.
Oh, you have the last line is there. I agree with you.
No, like,
but is the last line the focus of the paragraph, or is the last line the consolation? Meaning, if you read Bibi Brain Batarim, when you just read it now, did you think the focus was, "Don't worry, we'll get out, it'll be good"? Or do you think it's bad, 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 there's good at the end? Meaning, when God comes to Moshe and says, "I'm saving you," God knows how to say good things.
It's like I said before, you're polarizing the question.
But I'm saying, ask yourself in the Brit Bein
HaBetarim. No, you're right, it's dot, dot, dot. But it was out there, peace. It's unbearable. And so,
dot, dot, dot.
Let's just finish the story now, you know? Like, where's the hope?
How many people say that? Where's the hope? Yeah. You know, remember, I say each year, this is the Haggadah they have to write. The celebration of Pesach that we celebrate today is fundamentally different than the celebration of Pesach that a Jew would celebrate in Vilna in 1277. It's like impossible for us to imagine the Pesach in Vilna in 1177.
I said to Laura before, she said, "Well, we know the end of the story." And I was saying that the people who were sitting until our generation, the people who were sitting at the Seder, didn't know the end of the story. They knew what the end of the story was.
People were sitting in Bergen-Belsen, right?
I don't. That's extreme. So you're doing exactly what I do. You know what I'm saying? V'hisha amda. I'm so like I always wonder. What were they thinking in Bavel? What were they thinking in Babylonia when they were, or you know what I'm saying, after the Churban? Remember, we speak about this like every paragraph that I read.
The suffering is intrinsic.
Correct.
So if that's true,
then the Haggadah has to allude to and relate to the suffering more than the salvation. It says, and there will be salvation. We know there's salvation, but because the suffering is so prominent and so identified today, what do we do? And that's why the Shweki song is so indicative. Today, thank God, we throw the b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu. Meaning, think about how Jews sang that in how your great great grandfather sang it. That was the part, because that was the part that he understood. Because every time he tried to walk to the grocery store, some guy was like, he had to worry about some guy knocking him down.
In Russia,
or wherever, or however. And that, V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'Adam, he didn't understand that. Whereas today, the Yaakov Shweki is singing V'Hakadosh, because we feel that. We get the tingles every time we think about, the Iron Dome and the whatever, because that's what resonates with us.
Right.
We're reading a different Haggadah. That's what Haggadah have to write, because I've never seen, like, it's an important theme to develop. Who has time? Yeah, thank you. You always do. Who has time? Okay. So that's what's interesting to me, that in this theme, V'hisha Amda, and then if you look at the next paragraph, that's not good. Right? That's a continuation of this theme. Just understand, this isn't new. It wasn't for Avraham. It's not just for us. Yaakov Avinu also had this problem. Yeah, he's in a foreign land. He's not living where he's supposed to live. And lo and behold, what do you know? His father-in-law is trying to kill him. Okay? So look at the Netziv. We don't have time to read the whole thing. We'll read it quickly. You know, Baal HaAgadah, the Netziv lived where and when?
Berlin.
When?
1890.
At the height of?
Russian.
The Netziv lived, he didn't live in Berlin. He lived in Balazs. Netziv mi Balazs. Now you need to see Berliner of Balazs. Valozhin. Yes, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, but the Valozhin Yeshiva.
Right, when they closed it down.
When they closed it down at the height of the Haskalah. The height of the Haskalah. There are literally.
How do you say Haskalah in English?
Enlightenment.
Right.
The Jews, the Jewish community is watching
it's
itself.
Two totally different things.
What? Enlightenment.
It's a different word.
Haskalah, right. And they didn't like the word Haskalah. Enlightenment is positive.
Right.
The Jewish community was literally watching itself implode.
Right.
Implode from assimilation. Just totally. The Jews were leaving the shtetl in droves. And as they were leaving the shtetl, they were abandoning their religiosity and their Judaism. They believed in being Jewish. Right? But they wanted to create a different Judaism, a socialist Judaism, a nationalist Judaism, a proud Judaism, a Zionist Judaism.
Not different today.
That was the beginning. Right. So it's very interesting, fascinating historical themes. It was the beginning of the nascent rebirth of the idea of Jewish nationalism.
Good word.
Thank you. The rebirth of Jewish nationalism in the one sense, but it was only half of a Jewish nationalism. It was either this or that. It wasn't a complete vision. So, in that context, let us try to guess what the Netziv is going to say. Vine, Baal HaGadah, the author of the God, Shebaal HaMikra Zeh, Vayomer, when the author of the God comes to this Pasuk, Vayomer Lavram, Yadoa Tedak, Yer Yezaracha, your children shall surely know that their descendants shall be strangers. Amar Baruch Shomer Avtachato L'Yisrael, he says, great is he who kept his promise to Israel. He's just quoting the Haggadah. I'm in the third line. Ubiyar mefarshim. So the commentaries say shechashav dala meot shana ba'ofen sheachlu achar redu shana. Right? That how great is it that God said instead of 400 they left after 210.
That's my kind of math.
He says, but that doesn't make any sense because God figured out the kates 210 years instead of 400 years. He said, also, if you look at Magid, what comes right after that? At the end of the fifth line, according to the Mefarshim that say the Haftacha al Hagi'ula Mayri B'zeh HaMikra, that the promise is about the redemption, ain muvan. How is that about redemption? Ech mashma b'zeh HaMikra Ge'ula Ha'atida B'chol Dor. How is the pasuk of okay, if you want to look at the Midrash, then you could say that it's talking about the future. But it's not an explicit promise about the future. Okay? V'halo, I'm at the beginning of the seventh line. V'halo, Seifei Dekra, the end of that Pasuk. V'acharkach Yetu B'ruchush Gadol, and afterwards they will go out with great property. V'adai lo kai aha atid. It's not talking explicitly about the future. Uminolan de gracia de krav, agamatagoi, kai gamanid. How do we know that the whole thing is going about on the future as well? Da 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 da. Oh, odiyah lavin, also, had the kamar, say ulamad, go out and learn from this. Ma bikesh lavan harami. Like, learn from this what Lavan wanted to do. Ma yesh lanu lilmod mi lavan. Halo, belizo gyado alanu bibibirur. We know this. Shekama darot amdo alenu lechaloteinu. Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu matzeh. We have to learn from that. Everybody knows that they all try to kill us all the time. Uma yitin lanu nilmod shagam lavan amar alenu bikesh lakor etako. Ela, is it right, Yalar? Ela ikar habiyur b'chol zeh. I want to tell you that the Hamagid hevin b'devar Hashem, he understood the Magid. Kiger yezaracha levad hapirush hapashud. Other than this simple explanation, shehu nevuash yaken shehu geirin baratz lolehem, pirush, meaning, lo kamo she'atar gar, she'incha gar ba'artzecha in Eretz Kanan. Okay, this isn't going to be the way you live now in your own land, Eretz Kanan. De'be'emet hi shel Avraham v'zar'o. It is the land of Avraham and his children. But your children were going to be living in a land that does not belong to them. What this means is, this intention is, chada haftacha. Yes, it's a promise. They will live in a land not belonging to them. They will be redeemed. B'shenit azhara. It's a warning. Haftacha hi, the promise is, shiisharu geirim. They will remain strangers. V'lo yishtaku be'oma acheret. They will not become assimilated. Shenit, Secondly, it's a warning, azhara. Shiyu geirim, they should be strangers. Velo yishtadlu lihishtakea ba'aretz lo lahem, and they should not try to enmesh themselves in a land not belonging to them. Kadesh yakel aleihem ha'geirut. Right, what do you want to do? What do people want to assimilate? They want to fit in. Everybody wants to fit in. Uba al ha'haftacha. And this comes to tell you the promise. Lamar baruch shomer haftachato liYisrael. Okay, blessed is God who keeps his promise. Shechashav et haketz la'asod b'redushana. God brought about the ketz early, 210 instead of 400. Why? Kedei sheyukuyam haftachazu. So this promise would be fulfilled. Why? Kevan shira'a. Ki'im od yu b'mitzrayim. What would happen if he left them any longer? Remember, Laura, what did we say about the Jewish people? 49th level of Tumah. Remember you said at the beginning?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You never envisioned that they were...
No.
But you also know the Midrash, that they were in the 49th
right.
level of Tumah. Meaning what? They were exactly that. They were exactly at that point.
They were
one more
lost.
Minute, what?
They would have been lost.
They would have been nothing left to redeem, because they would have said to themselves, meaning 80% of them, 80% says the Midrash, 80% much has said, let's leave. Most of them said,
nah.
Leave.
But he knew.
This is our place.
But
you're slaves.
It wouldn't be 400.
We're Egyptian
slaves.
So why say 400? Okay. Yisaku Al-Kain, therefore, beginning of the next line. God calculated the redemption. L'ga'alam lifnei 400 shana.
V'al-davar
az haram. What's the warning?
By the way, that God made a mistake, as Miriam was saying.
I'm not going to get into that. Davar az hara. The warning. Shelo yishtavu lishtavot. Don't try to be the same. Ulit arevi mahem. And to immingle, enmesh with them. Eli yiru rotzim liyot kirim. Like, think, remember, he's not writing a commentary. He's not writing a commentary in Hamik Davar. He's giving a drasha in the yeshiva. He's giving a drasha on Shabbos Agado, clearly. It's obvious to me when I read Perushim like this. Right? He used his shiurim afterwards to write his commentary on the Chumash. Okay? He's talking and he's saying, this was their mistake. It was a promise and a warning. We're supposed to remain separate. We're supposed to remain different. And all of our attempts to try to enmesh ourselves, Amar tzeyu leman ma'bikesh Lavan ha'arami. What are we supposed to learn from Lavan? Pirush. Meaning, lo tachshov ki'im ba'im shititarebi mehem yakel mitcha ol hagalut. Don't think that when you try to enmesh yourselves, the burden of the galut is going to be easier. Tzeyu leman ma'bikesh Lavan ha'arami, right? What did Lavan try to do? What did Yaakov do? Think about it yourself. What did Yaakov do? He went to Lavan, and what did he do?
What did he do?
He went to Lavan, he lived in Aram, he married the daughters.
Pretty assimilated.
That's as assimilated as you can get. Did he intend coming back? It's unclear. We don't know. Right? It was always understood from one side that he came back. We know the end of the story.
Or the parsha, you know, Rashi, the midrash.
Right. Hello, lo haya ruoi shiatov lecha begalud yotem yashayim lavan shu avi imcha. It can't get better than living with your father-in-law. Varehu bikesh lakor etakol. The better it gets, right? The better you think that your physical conditions are, the worse it is. Umizeh Talmud. From this we learn, Asher Hisha Amda Lavudenu. This is the lesson. Shalo Echad Bilvada.
But he writes, Hisha Amda Lanu
Lavudenu.
He flips it.
Okay. Shalo Echad Bilvad Omed Lachalutenu. Not only when Al-Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzadenu Miyadam, why do they try to destroy us?
Mm-hmm.
They try to destroy us because we want to be like them. Says the Nitziv, the more we try to be and assimilate, the more we try to be like them, the more they hate us. Mm-hmm. How right he was.
Mm-hmm.
How right he was. The greater we try and mesh ourselves, in each progressive generation, we assimilate more.
The Germans, we were so...
He goes on, he says a very famous thing. Right? It was a curse, Bilam said, but it was a promise. It was a blessing. Am levadad yishkon, a separate nation. The more we try to make ourselves like them, right? Right? That, you know, the more we try to enmesh ourselves, the more we try to ingratiate ourselves, the more we try to intertwine ourselves,
the worse
it gets for us. And then he says, that's why he means, Sei uleman ma bikesh levan ha'arami. So, you know, it's a historical, it's a historical, it's a hisha amda. And this is the principle. This is the idea that God's dead. And he says, and this is not the good part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu, and rather, it's Ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. This principle, says the Netziv, this is the idea that has stood for us the test of time. Hmm. Our differentness, our estranged nature from the nations of the world. Hmm. Okay, now what does that do for us here and now? So for us, it gives us a sense of good feeling. Hey, we're not there, we're here, we're all we did, we're right. If anybody living and listening to this in Chutzaretz, I mean, I said the recorder, if you're listening to this in Chutzaretz, Hishamda, you have to emphasize the differentness. Yesterday, I'll just end by this.
We're still, I've always had this argument with people who lived in Israel when I lived in America.
Yeah.
We're still in Galut in Israel too, and people are still trying to destroy us in Israel too.
People are still trying to be like the rest of the world.
People in Israel. Oh. Right? Israel is trying to be like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That's it. Is this not the,
except this week, last week when they finally said no.
Is this not the nature of the ongoing debate? Exactly the debate in the world, in Israel today? This is the nature of the debate. How much are we supposed to be like the rest of the world? Every single issue.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was reading an article yesterday about just connected to two things and then we'll stop. An article about Tel Aviv changed the law in Tel Aviv that permits makolets
to be open on Shabbat.
This is a very interesting, a fascinating, and actually quite important issue. Why? Because, and so this guy, Ron Huldai, the mayor of Tel Aviv, says, we believe, and you have to quote him directly, we believe in the Tarbut Tel Avivit. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we don't want to give up our idea of rest, but on the other hand, you know, we want to let people express themselves in the way they want to. And it's very fascinating. So which is it? Do you want the Tarbut Tel Avivi? Do you want rest? And it's a very big debate. What is the role of Shabbat in Tel Aviv? What is there supposed to be? Do people in Tel Aviv believe in Shabbat? Do they believe in Shemirat Shabbat? Go ahead. The second thing I was thinking of, a professor I know, a very well-known one, he started writing a book, putting together a book on modern orthodoxy, creating an authentic Israeli modern orthodoxy, independent of American modern orthodoxy. What? Right, you know what it is. Okay, whatever. And he posted on Facebook, so I assume it's not a secret. And so my response was, I don't know if there was such a thing as modern orthodoxy independent of American culture. Because American culture is so enmeshed in Western values and being accepting, the importance of American values is what created the idea of the need to enmesh modern culture together with. If it hadn't been in America, like, you know, in Europe, I don't know what it's like, you know, where you come from, but the idea of the culture being important, being part and parcel of who we are, is so American. I don't know if it's European.
It's so modern.
It's
what? Modern.
So modern.
Right.
It's not only American.
It's European as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
When I went to Belgium, they were not interested in being Belgians at all. They were not interested in Belgian culture. No, not at all. You know, and even Brits, Brits, less so. French people, they're proud French. Mamash lo.
They used to be before all the anti-Semitism.
Not a kiddie cough that they, you know.
Yeah, my husband was with the French in the army, and he was like, French, like, because they're so French.
Yeah, no, but they culturally.
Yes.
And interesting, but did they think that their Judaism had to reflect French values? Only in America do we have to redefine our Judaism based on American values.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a question. Interesting question.
Very interesting question.
Stop here.